belong, you belong, you belong, you belong to the Merry Marble Marching Society. March along, march along to the song of the Merry Marble Marching Society.
Welcome to the Road to Infinity podcast. We have lots of Marvel news to talk about. We are getting even closer to the launch of Disney Plus. There's all sorts of behind the scenes things that have been coming to light. So we have quite a few, and we're going to talk a little bit about some fun new project that we are going to be doing on the podcast itself. So let's get into it. Joining me as always is Rob. Hey.
Hey, what's going on? Week.
Oh yes.
There's Marvel news. Go figure. There's more stuff.
So what's our first item on the agenda?
Well, okay. So going back a little bit to, we still got a little bit of Endgame stuff to talk about. There was someone who just posted a video. I saw this on Geek Tyrant. Did a fantastic Bruce Banner supercut of Bruce Banner and Hulk story. It's called, his journey is called, ooh, I Was Made for This. Check it out. Google it. And just literally look up Bruce Banner, I Was Made for This. It's awesome. They just took all what you've seen of the Hulk, and okay, like again, you kind of forget how much we've gotten of him, even though we've only had, you know, the single one standalone film. It just tells a really nice story, you know, all leading up to the point Endgame where he's like, you know what, yeah, I'm the one who's got to do this. So anyway, just check that out. That's totally awesome. And then I know we were mentioned this before we went on air, right? Disney. So there's a whole story about Disney is seriously pushing Endgame for several Oscars.
Yeah. I think it has a chance to do that Lord of the Rings, Return of the King thing and actually pick up a bunch of them. Cause
And of course that's cool because you've seen these movies, you know, all the work that goes into them. Yes. A lot of these people, the talented people that put these together, hugely deserving of some recognition, especially given that it's a fairly competitive movie.
Sure.
I have a theory though, which is this is my theory. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of the things that caught the ire of a certain director.
Oh, I see.
And I think that this, because what am I talking about? There was a little blip of a story here in the last week or so about Martin Scorsese, when he's out pushing The Irishman, basically asking about, he was being asked about Marvel movies, and he was pretty dismissive of them. Mm-hmm. And kind of likened them to basically just nothing more than an amusement park ride.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody, you know.
Yeah. Everyone's it bounced on the internet, and then we have to get quotes from every Marvel star and every other director. And
absolutely. And you know, and to his credit, Robert Downey Jr. had a really nice response about it. He was very classy. He was like, look, you know what? First of all, he's got his opinion. I appreciate it. You know, I'm proud of the work I've done. Everyone's got an opinion. It's cool.
Yeah. And Samuel Jackson was less classy, and that made me like
a little bit less classy. So, yeah. But what I think is, look, I mean, it makes a good point. Obviously, cinema can be a lot of things. Art can be a lot of things. You can't, you know, no matter what whatever that medium is. But we are definitely getting to a point where what is considered cinema, or, you know, the traditional, the artistic nature of it, there's always going to be that thing between, and this is what the critics get sometimes in trouble with, the difference between art and entertainment.
Yeah.
And I think one of the great things is, and I don't even know if it's sort of a division, because again, I really think there's a lot of art involved, and literally and figuratively, there's a lot of artistic expression in these movies. It's just, you know, people have different opinions. But I think that's what started to light this all up was that, hey, they're actually putting money behind the award season.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows?
Yeah, very interesting.
But anyway, you know, you discuss it and see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so surprise. Mm-hmm. There's also Spider-Man news.
What? Spider-Man news?
Spider-Man. So you see the story about, I know MovieWeb and a few other places picked up on it. Who do we have to thank for the Spider-Man MCU debacle being resolved, even if just a little bit?
It was our boy, Tom Holland.
He went, guys, come on.
Yeah, and it even came down from Robert Iger himself, confirmed it on everything. So anyways, if you know what we're talking about, after the whole kerfuffle where Marvel and Sony walked away from the negotiating table, it looked like everything was done and dead. But Tom Holland, and now he's under contract, but also has a new movie coming out from Sony. He's going to be Nathan Drake in the Uncharted movie, which gave him a little bit of leverage. So I don't think he strong-armed them, but I think he went to, because apparently he was backstage at D23 and was asking everybody, can I talk to Bob Iger? Do you know Bob Iger's number? Like, let me, I need to talk to Bob Iger. I really need to talk to him. And so people were like, you don't just give out the CEO's number, even if you have it. So it got up to Bob Iger that this was, that he was looking for him. And so Bob Iger contacted him and Tom Holland said, you've got to get back to the table. You've got to make this happen. The fans want this. People are going crazy. Like, you've got to make this happen. And so Bob was like, well, if I can't remember what the name of the head of Sony is, but if the head of Sony will do it, I'll talk to him too. So he went to the head of Sony and said, hey, so I'm making this other movie for you, but I really want you to talk to Disney about Spider-Man. And he's the one who sort of made Peacemaker, got them to sort of calm down, get them back to the table, and then worked out the thing. So yeah, it was really Tom Holland himself who used his star power to benefit. Because the thing is, it really did not directly benefit him. So like from even from a cynical perspective, he was going to make, he was already under contract. He was not, this does no benefit to him in terms of money. So it wasn't like, now I get a bonus because of this. Like, he really did it just because he really wanted this situation to continue. He really wanted the Marvel-Sony merger, like to do part three of his Spider-Man thing, to happen. And he used his power in Hollywood to make it happen. That's pretty great.
Thank you, Mr. Holland.
Thank you, Mr. Holland.
Oh, never mind. I'm just kidding. So, so that's a weird movie reference. I'll leave it anyway. So, okay. So then out of this, though, comes all the crazy stories. Like, there was one story that said that apparently now there are back burner discussions at Disney and the number on the table now is $5 billion.
Yeah, so it went down from 9 to 5, so we're moving. But still, that's still more than they paid for Lucasfilm, and that included Indiana Jones.
You know what, though? But okay, but here's what I'm wondering.
Oh, and yes. Willow.
Now, okay, right, but you know what? Maybe they might have real big plans for Spider-Man. $5 billion may not be outrageous.
They really might.
So who knows? They may still get it all in the end. I wouldn't be surprised. But then there's a whole – I mean, geez, it's just been – a ton of stories about, okay, so you had stuff coming out.
It just makes me think of Rocket.
Yeah,
how much for the
So
how much for the Spider Boy? So, oh, I'm gonna have that Spider Boy.
So a couple things. There was an interesting story. Screen Rant had a story about, and this is just pontificating, but the idea that, hey, you know, where we've left Spider-Man and what's gonna happen, he actually does have an easy way to fix this. And the fix was the Skrulls, and basically saying, hey, you know, it wasn't Spider-Man you saw kill it was the Skrull. And I thought that was interesting. You know, I mean, just kind of, I mean, you could obviously have a lot of ways to do this, but there have been talk about, I think it's the producer from Far From Home has teased the Sinister Six is on its way.
I'm not surprised Sony has been chomping at the bit for that for so long. And the story
today is Ruben Fleischer, the director of Venom, has been literally now saying in interviews, he's like, yes, of course we're heading to a confrontation with Spider-Man with Venom. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been the rumor is that was the underlying text of the deal. So like, we know some of the higher points of the deal, the 25% and the sharing costs and all that kind of stuff. But supposedly the small print was, how about you just don't unacknowledge the Spider-Verse. Like, maybe you won't have Venom show up in the MCU, but you don't say that he's not. So like all of the and Morbius and Madame Web and the Black Cat and Silver Sable, all these other movies that are supposedly happening, like, you basically just, they're lightly in the same way that Cloak and Dagger and Runaways are lightly in the MCU, that the Sony Spider movies would be lightly in the MCU, just never directly anybody that's not under contract to them like Tom Holland is. So yes, I think the Venom thing is, and I have to say, it's actually the worst thing for Venom right now. So, so I maybe you have a different opinion on this, but. So Venom, obviously, you know that we of here on Road to Infinity are not Venom fans.
I still have not seen it.
And that is a telling thing in and of itself. And have no plans to see it either.
Not at all. Right, unless, but we'll get to that so, later.
Yeah, we'll probably, down the line. I think because, okay, so Venom comes out and does extremely well. It actually connected with me. It found an audience. It made a bunch of money and great. I'm never angry about people's success. Like you did it. I thought you couldn't do it. I don't know how you did it, but you did it. So good job. Now trying to fold him into the Spider-Man thing is really a really bad idea because, well, we could get into the whole thing of like where Venom came from and all that kind of stuff. But like you've now taken the character and made him stand on his own. To have him try to fold him back into why he's even relevant to Spider-Man or why they even have a connection is going to make him weaker. So I don't know. I mean, like I don't know what Sony's planning on doing. They seem to just make stuff up even more than DC does a lot of the time. They're just like,
can you imagine taking a famous, infamously famous villain character and then sort of saying, "Oh, we're going to do this movie on its own, but we're going to maybe sort of tease its connection to another character who's its archenemy, and then actually like fold it all in more than you expected?" Because we haven't seen any movies recently like that, have we?
You lost me. What are you thinking? Oh, Joker. Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess so. But Joker wasn't trying to launch a franchise.
No, this is absolutely, absolutely right.
They were just sort of
Fucking around. Anyway. I agree with you. I don't. Sony really wants to play.
I assume you're saying Spider-Verse. I'm not talking about the animated movie. Like just the Spider-Man universe. I don't even know if they have an official name for it. All the Spider-Man characters there. At this point, I think it'd be better just let Venom be on his own. I think it actually might make it more confusing. You know what? The worst case scenario of that is it becomes Highlander 2. And you try and like force a retrofit an origin into something that had a completely different one to try and appeal to something else, and then it just makes the whole thing sort of fall apart.
So then the only other Spider-Man thing I had was there's been and this is interesting because this talk started right after Far From Home came out, and now it's like getting louder. There's a lot of rumors about that talk about Charlie Cox, and that now that this agreement has been repaired, either he's under contract or is in the process of it for bringing Matt Murdock into Spider-Man 3. I know that could be crazy, but it was more than one place said it. And the backup plan.
Yeah.
Okay. This is interesting. The backup plan was to bring the character of She-Hulk as the lawyer, you know, for Spider-Man 3. If they were going to have to go some other route on that, but that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of, fan dreaming, but I think that would be fun. I would think that would be fun if especially that character who did such a great job on the Netflix series had an opportunity to have a life in the MCU.
Yeah, true. I think that is one thing that most that the fans can agree on is sort of like of the Defenders, three of them were casting was heartily embraced by the fandom. And said like that's the perfect person for that job, so much so that if they recast them, I think there would be backlash, which they don't want to have. So speaking of Far From Home, now that it's been out on home video in both DVD and Blu-ray and digital, I want to talk a little bit about the behind the scenes stuff. So. It's a fairly decent stuff. They actually had more stuff, I think, even than Captain Marvel did. A lot of behind the scenes of them showing that, and they show a little. There's a nice Easter egg one where they show some of the crew of Mysterio behind, like where they were hiding in different scenes before they ever sort of met Spider-Man, which is neat to see. The only thing that annoyed me about it was. All this stuff was recorded behind the scenes interviews when the movie was out. So I saw the movie. I bought the movie. I own the movie. I want to know how the movie was made. And everybody is still like, "Oh, Mysterio is a hero. Oh yeah. Like he's a great guy and everything." I'm like, what? And then like they had a thing about Nick Fury. They had Samuel Jackson talking about playing Nick Fury. And it was like, you're not playing Nick Fury. You weren't playing Nick Fury in this whole movie. Like, I was like, oh man. So like the behind the scenes aren't in on the gag.
Interesting.
It's like, oh, now, do you think
was an intentional thing, or do you think that was just because of timing?
I think it was timing. I think it because, like, from what I understand of the way the business is, the because of the delay in manufacturing it and how it is, and because the window between theatrical and home video is so short now, that the theatrical stuff, including commentary and stuff, has to be done as the movie is out or just before the movie hits theaters.
Oh, okay.
So all the stuff they did were probably EPK, electronic press kit stuff from when they were doing the junkets and things. Like, they didn't have a really definitive, like, it won't be until like down the line where they would have to be able to do that because they were still keeping the secrets.
Gotcha.
That's like, oh, I wanted the secrets revealed. And it's not like everything is, like, I mean, there's a big thing about, there's a whole thing about Mysterio, and they talk about the character history and the development, and they show all the stuff in there about him becoming bad. But it was all the interviews with the people. It was so like, oh, these are lies. You're just lying to me. I don't want to see the lies. Like, show me how the stuff was done. Mm. So that was a little annoying, the behind the scenes stuff. But it was still, it's still really good in terms of all the things they showed. I wish there was either a play all or they would just have a big like hour long thing as opposed to all these little 5 minute bits that you have to just keep on hitting. Like, give me a play all where I can just go through the entire list and watch, have a night of just behind the scenes stuff. Right. But that's just my own annoyance. But still worth a buy. So if you like the movie, there's lots of good stuff you can have there. I have not listened to the commentary yet, but I know it's
okay.
There.
This is an interesting segue. I gotta ask this. I don't know what the story is on this. Is it, will it eventually make it to Disney Plus? Will either Spider-Man movie have this?
That's a good question. I bought it. I buy all the stuff too, even knowing Disney Plus was coming, because I didn't know, because it is kind of a Sony movie. So I didn't know if they would actually be showing up. We're going to talk about the Disney Plus stuff later online, but I can tell you right now at launch, the Spider-Man movies are not there. Right. I mean, I've the two, but I mean, like, they're not around. But the movies that he has been in are, so. But yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, because I wasn't going to pick that up only because of Disney Plus, but now I'm wondering. I wonder if it'll ever make it. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and while I'm complaining, I'll just keep on my complaints here, and then we'll. But I don't like to, do a lot of like, this is terrible, this is awful. I prefer to keep to the positive side of things. But sometimes something comes out down the line that I feel is so egregious that I have to call it out, and I'm going to do that now.
Oh, I love this. Go ahead.
So there is one thing we don't really talk about on the show are books. So Marvel has and Disney, of course, Disney has a big publishing empire. They put out a lot of really good books. You know, there's the DK books and all the behind the scenes and stuff, and the novels and the tie-in stuff too. Like, it's just basically, we have so many fandoms we have to keep up with, we don't really keep up with that stuff. But one thing came along that was sort of along my interest, and it was a book of quotes from the MCU. And I was like, oh, hey, that's interesting. So like, they had like the best lines from the last 10 years of Marvel Cinematic Universe. I was like, great. It's called Part of a Bigger Universe.
Oh, that's awesome.
Unforgettable quotes from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's
so I was
amazing.
Like,
yeah, that sounds awesome.
That's really cool. That sounds great. Like, I want to. So I got it. I mean, I didn't buy it, but I went and I found it, and I started looking through it. And I have to say, for Marvel Studios, it is the laziest book I have ever seen a major studio put out, because it is, they picked one font and it's either black on white or white on black. That's it. The entire book. It might as well be a collection of tweets.
Well, no, but see, but that's what those books are. A lot of those books are like that. That I know.
There are so many artists out there that do amazing things with the words. Like, you could just give a page of like, here's the quote of like, there's only one God, ma'am, and I don't believe he doesn't dress like that, and let them go to town on it.
Yeah,
like Risa Rodel. I mean, they do. She has officially licensed stuff with her. Just give her the book, and then like, you know, in a week she could give you more than this. It is. The layout of this is so lazy.
No, but you know, there's those things that they sell, in the red zone of like a Barnes & Noble, because that still exists.
Yeah.
Like, that's what those all are. They're grabs. That's it.
Exactly. It's just a cash grab. And it's like I expect a higher level from Disney and from Marvel. Like, come on, step up your game.
What's it called?
It's called part of a bigger universe. Unforgettable quotes from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh wow, yeah, it's got 1 star on Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's $14.
Oh yeah, so it's not even
like a little soft cover, you know, thing. I mean, like they're trying to sell it. Like, I mean, like it's the same price as the Marvel Studios Character Encyclopedia or even the Marvel Encyclopedia. Like these are great, beautiful books.
Oh my god! Like I just okay. The Amazon actually has a thing, and like one of them is like a red page mm-hmm. with a silhouette of a cat, and it says, "Goose, I'm trusting you not to eat me, Nick Fury, Captain Marvel."
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's it. And like, there's not even pictures of the characters. I mean, like, so it's not even like they have like, you know, a little picture of Samuel Jackson in the corner. I think it literally is just like the most exciting thing is like for Wakanda Forever, it's a black background and gray text. Wakanda Forever.
Oh, this is a whole page.
It is so lazy.
No, I mean, like, oh, okay, like, there's one page I'm looking through. You could look at this on Amazon.
Yeah, just look at Amazon. That. You can
it's
look at that.
Literally, the one page.
7 pages of it.
It's literally 12-point font, and it says, Thor, : this is a friend of mine. Tree, Groot, : I am Groot. Steve Rogers, : I am Steve Rogers.
Yeah. And then citation, what? Avengers Infinity War.
Oh, God.
Thanks. That's.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
The holidays are coming, man. Yeah.
I hope no one ends up with this book under the tree.
I don't know what to say.
So boo and hiss.
Or just buy the book, cut the binding off, put it into a little IKEA frame.
Say I'm like level one in graphic design, and I could have put everything together with this. You are like level 5, and you could have gone.
No, but that's interesting. No, but that's gonna happen. You're gonna have that stuff, yeah. Man. That stuff is gonna happen.
Yeah, cash grab. Hate it.
Yeah.
So, do better, Marvel. Okay. Let's move on to more positive stuff. You want to talk about Disney Plus?
Yes. So we are closer. It's exciting. It's getting better. And a couple things we did see. There was literally just today, somebody finally did, which is a much easier to talk about, mm-hmm. what will not be on Disney Plus at launch.
Yeah.
Because, okay, as far as Disney goes, it sounds like it's everything.
Yes. It's
for the most part. Disney Studios, Disney Animation, yep. For the most part, all of Pixar has already been confirmed. Mm-hmm. So there was an article here from MovieWeb, and they just did a list of, okay, so here's the stuff from Marvel that will not be on it, and here's the Star Wars stuff that will not be on it at launch. Star Wars, well, just real quick, I mean, because there's only 5 things. Star Wars Holiday Special, mm-hmm. The Caravan of Courage, and Ewok Adventure.
Oh, really? I wonder if Ewok's
the Ewok's The Battle for Endor. Mm-hmm. But then, surprisingly, The Last Jedi and Solo.
Oh, yeah. They're probably still – licensing agreements are probably still out there.
Yeah, they still have agreements in with both of those. So that's interesting.
I think those are both on Netflix
right now. Right. And then there's – but Marvel, it's – okay, so it's Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America the First Avenger, mm-hmm. The Avengers, Captain America Winter Soldier and Civil War, Doctor Strange, both Spider-Man movies, Guardians Volume 2 – Ragnarok, Black Panther, Infinity War, and Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
Will not be on. That's a lot. I mean, that's like the majority.
There's only, let's see, I have a list here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Only 8 Marvel movies will be on at launch. Actually, 7.
And that's going to
Because Endgame comes out right. In December. So at launch, 7.
So that's a little more than I thought. I thought that it would actually have more.
They'll get there, but yeah, at launch is probably still working the way through there.
There will be other.
However, they have confirmed you can watch every episode of Inhumans. I don't know why you'd want to.
Oh yeah.
However, where they do shine is in the animated shows. So I have that list here, and it's really, really good. So if you're looking to do any animated Marvel stuff, they're all there. So I'm going to read off the list here. They have Avengers: United They Stand, which which is the 1999 one. Avengers Assemble from 2013. My favorite, Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes from 2010. The best of the Avengers one. They have the Fantastic Four cartoon from 1994. That was an interesting experiment. Fantastic Four, The World's Greatest Heroes in 2006. That's the anime sort of inspired one. If you have not seen it, it's really cool because they really went all out with the art style. I think it was actually a French animation studio, and they really let them design the characters really extreme. That was good. The Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon from 2015. Hulk and the Agents of Smash, that was their attempt to make a very kid-friendly Hulk one. And so it was like Hulk and Abomination and Red Hulk. It was like all these, all the Hulks together just going around and having a good time. And Hulk was the main character, so he talked a lot. The Incredible Hulk animated series from 96, the Iron Man from 94, Iron Man Armored Adventures from 2008, which was, that was an interesting one. They tried to have it be Teen Tony. They had it as like, what if he was a teenager and got the Iron Man suit and went around? It was CG animation. Yeah, it had some ideas, but it didn't really ever pull together that much. The Silver Surfer cartoon from 98. Spider-Man from 1981, which I believe Spider-Man from 81 is Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. They just don't have it listed here like that. Spider-Man Unlimited, where they ran out of the regular Spider-Man stuff, so they sent him to an alternate universe. The Spider-Man cartoon that's running now, which is called Marvel's Spider-Man, that's a really good one because first of all, because it's current, so the animation style is really, really good. But they also move into the Spider-Verse stuff pretty quickly. So it starts out as Spider-Man just getting his powers, and then very quickly you're introduced to Miles Morales and Gwen Stacy and all that. And by the end of the first season, there's sort of a spider crew. Like all of them have gotten different kinds of spider powers, and they're sort of working together. And they're playing off some of the classic Spider-Man stories in their own ways. Ultimate Spider-Man from 2012, not a fan, but it was the only thing that was sort of keeping the flame burning for a while. Wolverine and the X-Men from 2009, that was a good animated series. The original of 92 X-Men, I probably shouldn't do that because I could get sued because Marvel's being sued about that right now.
Yeah, actually.
And finally, the X-Men Evolution series in 2002, which was a great, great animated show. Really cool style, and it wore its references on its sleeve, which I really appreciated. So, in the reality, you can't let there's not all the Marvel movies you can watch, but you can really dig in on animation.
Wow, okay, that's crazy.
I know, and that's just the Marvel anime. I mean, like the amount of stuff they came out with. They did a supercut, essentially, like a little piece of everything that's going to be on Disney Plus, and they put it up on YouTube, and the video is over 3 hours long.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that's crazy. Well, so the only other news on Disney Plus related stuff was there was two little interesting things here. Elizabeth Olsen was doing an interview.
I love Elizabeth Olsen right now because she's becoming the new Tom Holland because she is so excited about WandaVision but doesn't know what she is and is not supposed to say. So she's not really leaking anything, right, but yes. She's like saying all the stuff that she's like, am I supposed to? I don't know if I'm... She's just delightful.
So she, this one wasn't a really big deal. I mean, this is something we've all... This is heavily hinted at in the... was it the D23 or the Comic-Con image? Mm-hmm. But her point was that this series really explores her under the name of Scarlet Witch. Whereas in the movies, you've only heard her referred to as Wanda. And we talked about that. The shadow is in the image of her and Paul Bettany's character sitting on the couch. Mm-hmm. It's of her classic comic character with the mask in the shadow that's on the wall. So that obviously is clear, but it's interesting to hear her say that.
Yeah, that by the end of this, that she will be definitively like the Scarlet Witch.
And then the only other one, and this could be a loopy thing, but I did think this was interesting, that there is reports that they are in talks with Liv Tyler
to
be in the She-Hulk series reprising her role as Betty Ross.
I think that's brilliant. I love that. Like after Natalie Portman, bringing her in is like the best thing they could do.
Absolutely. No,
yeah, we had already heard, we'd heard rumors that General Ross, that William Hurt was going to be involved somehow, but having the two of them, I think is a great idea.
No, fantastic. That's good. I mean, that just means it's going to be good. That'll be good for the show. Then, yeah. I don't have any other Disney Plus stuff. There was just a couple little things. There's more set photos of Black Widow, which speaking of General Ross, he is in the movie, yep, or at least has been confirmed. And that there was talk a little bit. Geek Tyrant had a couple things about Nova. There's plans for that character to debut in Phase 5.
We heard that he was going to be in Phase 4 too. So we'll see.
Yeah, who knows? And then there was a, was there a story about on Marvel Comics? This came from Marvel Comics. That they had dropped this Iron Man 2020 teaser that was really interesting. It was basically an image. Did you see this? It was an image of Iron Man standing over the grave, basically the tombstone of Iron Man.
Yeah.
And then there was a hand coming out of the ground. Like, it was just interesting. I think everybody was just kind of like, where is this going? And, you know, not necessarily connected to the MCU at this point, but, you know, kind of interesting to see where things are going with some of these characters.
Yeah, I'm not sure because – I read in trades, so I'm always like, you know, 3 to 6 months behind on what's going on. But I know Tony was dead, and then he was an AI, and then he was brought because his own body was in a coma because he had no brain functions, and then he was like, they rebooted him and rebuilt his body, and now he's back to normal. But supposedly his brother Arno is going to take over for him and become, because there's an evil Iron Man from the future he's Iron Man 2025, I believe. And so now I think the movie up to Iron Man 2020. So I think that supposedly like Iron Man was going to die and that one was going to take over for a while or something. That's what they're rumoring. I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm behind on everything, but because comics, ladies and gentlemen.
Comics, exactly. Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's all we got. Even the story of how Tony Stark has a brother is convoluted, to say the least.
Awesome. Well, there we go. So, and some of the more crazier stuff. There was an announcement about Marvel Studios announcing Avengers Damage Control.
Yeah, it's a VR game, right?
It's a VR experience that is only going to be, it's going to be like, what was it a couple years ago? They did the Marvel, there was some traveling Marvel show. Well, there's been like the live Marvel live. That's been like an arena show. And then there was another one. This is one of those kinds that it's only going to be in like 6 or 7 cities. But it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
It comes out October 18th. So it's actually this week is when it'll open. And they've even shown like Spidey has Spider-Man's in it. He's got a new suit. It's just a really cool experience. It's not in Phoenix. So we
don't know where we're going. For anyone out there who sees it, you know, send us a thing to let us know that.
I'd
like to hear a firsthand account of this.
Right. And if you go to The Void, it's thevoid.com. That's actually the main website for it. And it's basically, it's Anaheim, Glendale, California, San Francisco, Orlando, Atlanta, Las Vegas. Las Vegas is close. Minneapolis, New York, Texas, and Washington, D.C. And a few other places across the world. So interesting that, again, this sounds cool. I think they keep trying to experiment with expanding this sort of entertainment experience to see, you know, what can happen. And I don't know, you know, the Marvel Live ones, if you've ever been to those are interesting. I mean, they're fun.
Yeah.
They're a little bit geared more towards younger kids.
Yeah, we went and saw one together.
Yep.
That was fun.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, we totally enjoyed it.
Oh, with our families. It wasn't just him and I. That'd been a little weird.
Would have been fine, actually. I mean, I did get Captain America's autograph, but no. So that stuff is very cool to hear. And then some really cool, I always love to talk about the toy stuff. Mm-hmm. So New York Comic Con just ended. Some really cool stuff that they saved. Okay. So a couple episodes ago, we talked about the Avengers video game that's coming out.
Yeah. They put out some new footage about that. It turns out that, Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, is actually a major, character in it too. And they showed a little of her gameplay and stuff too.
Oh yes. Yeah. I think I've seen the images on that came out.
Yeah. It's like, she's the one that sort of is the key to bringing the Avengers back together. She's the one who's sort of leading the charge of like, you guys got to get get past all this nonsense and get yourselves back together. Save the world, Avengers.
I can deal with that.
I'm interested in that game. I mean, I like Crystal Dynamics a lot. I look at the stuff, and I watch the videos, and I've heard them talk. And the number one question, I don't care about the how they look. I don't care about the story at this point, because the question that no one seems to be answering is, how do you play it? Like,
oh right, what's the game? What's the mechanics?
Yeah,
what's,
I don't right. understand how you play the game, because every time they talk about it, they compare it to Destiny, they compare it to Apex Legends, they compare, like, okay, but it's a single player action game, like it's a role playing action role playing game. Right. But every time they talk about it, they talk about it when they talk about the online shooters and stuff too. But I'm like, but it's not a shooter, and it's. Is everyone Captain America? Like, are you going to be playing with like 30 different Iron Man? Like, how? Like, please, like, if you, I know you're trying. You guys are working damage control, so to speak, now to try and get the fans back on your side. But like, how do you play your game? Because I don't understand.
Right. Well, okay. So I was not very happy with what I saw, because it was like we said, it was the costumes that you're familiar with mostly from the movies, yes. But however, not the faces.
No.
And clearly not the voices.
No.
Which I know, yeah. People,
and I guess,
have said,
I think,
that,
but, okay. I think their microtransactions are going to be costumes, because I think that's what it's going to be. Like, you're going to have your, when you start the game, you're going to have the new Avengers game outfits, but it's like, oh, you want to have Captain America's classic 1940s look? Just 3 cap bucks, which cost,
yeah,
4 real world dollars. Then you can, I mean, I think really, right, that's where they're going to do their own version of nickel and diming, which the video game industry is rife with right now. I think you're going to have to buy new costumes for your characters.
Huh. Okay. So the interesting announcement though from Comic-Con was, they are coming out with a series of Marvel Legends figures based on the game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which I thought was really cool, all they revealed was the Iron Man character, and it's a cool version of Iron Man. I mean, you'd think, okay, how many times can you redo Iron Man? Infinite times, it turns out. Yeah. This one's a little bit better. He's got the sort of sunken in cheeks on the armor, and the color is really nice. It's more of a deeper red and more of a copper with the gold. And this is from MarvelToyNews.com, so you can check this out. It looks really cool, and yeah, you know what? And this may end up being the first character, the Ms. Marvel one. They'll probably do her and Hank Pym. So there's a whole bunch of stuff here that you'll see that we haven't seen before in that line of figures. And then the other big news was, if you're a Marvel Legends fan, this is sort of their, you know, the equivalent of the Star Wars Black Series, the 6-inch figures. They announced, and it's awesome, a very cool Marvel Legends Stan Lee action figure.
Oh, that's nice.
It is, and it looks awesome. I mean, he looks fantastic. He comes with a Captain American shield that has Stan Lee's signature on it, and he comes with the chessboard game from his cameo in the original Avengers
movie. Oh, nice.
So, and that's cool. That's on Entertainment Earth, actually. Entertainment Earth is already taking pre-orders for it. It's supposed to come out in May of 2020. But if you did want, and like, yes, I will be adding a Stan Lee figure to my Marvel shelf. That's awesome. I mean, this looks really good.
Actually, you do a check
beautiful
Kirby
sculpt.
Figure.
Yeah, no, they did. I mean, you could do, wow. I mean, they could really do a Marvel Legends
yeah.
line.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad idea.
Oh, the next wave.
That's really good.
Build a Kirby.
Yeah. Exactly.
Buy this.
So, no.
Buy this Howard the Duck figure, and you get his cigar.
Wow,
Jack Kirby with authentic cigar chomping action.
So they, So anyway, that's totally cool to check that out.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
That was neat. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about us. We thought about, okay, we're having fun keeping up the news because we were worried that there wouldn't be enough news. Ha ha. Turns out there's a lot.
Uh-huh.
But then we're thinking like, okay, what can we do to sort of keep things interesting over the course of the next couple months as we're waiting for Black Widow and stuff too. And then, all the Spider-Man news broke and I'm like, well, that's it. So we're doing a new feature over the course of the next couple months called The Fall of the Spider. So we're going to be doing our deep dive looks like we did with all the previous Marvel movies, with all of the Spider-Man movies that we haven't covered. So we're going to start with Sam Raimi's 2002 Spider-Man. So we're going to do Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3. Then we're going to jump over to Amazing Spider-Man, and then Amazing Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And then maybe if we keep going and I can sweet talk Rob, I might even force him to watch Venom.
Oh,
boy. Yeah.
Wait, hold on a second. There's actually a movie on that list in addition to Venom I have not
seen.
Oh,
really? You've not seen Amazing Spider-Man?
I saw Amazing Spider-Man, and I did not go see Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay. Too. All right. So that'll be interesting.
I guess I will.
So starting in the next week or two, we are going to start with Sam Raimi's 2002 Spider-Man. So, you know, watch it on your own if you want to get refamiliarized with it. And then we will do our customary deep dive on it, kind of talk a little history, get into the specifics of it and some weird trivia, and sort of talk about how it looks now that we've had, five Spider-Man movies after it.
Which is the one that has the train scene?
Two. Spider-Man 2. Oh. Yeah, I have a story. Spider-Man 2, as opposed to Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I have a story about that. I will save it for that one. That it's both sweet and embarrassing all at the same time.
But it's going to be interesting. Yeah, I haven't watched those in a long time. I don't think I've watched them since the MCU has sort of come back out. So it'll be interesting to see how they hold up, knowing now what we know.
Or not.
Yeah, and actually, you know, there's things to love, and I think there's a lot of things that we're going to sort of cringe at. But I think the one thing is Sam Raimi is very good at casting, so I think there's going to be a lot of familiar faces in there that you go, oh, I forgot that guy was in here too. So
actually, isn't Thomas Hayden Church in the second?
He is in the third one. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Yeah, all right. I just watched Tombstone. I just watched Tombstone the other night, and I forgot that he's in that. Yeah. All right.
So, awesome. Yeah, so that's our plan. So, those will come out as separate episodes. So you'll see those in the feed. But we're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. So, all right. Well, thank you all for listening. As always, like, subscribe, do all the things. If you want to email us, it's roadtoinfinity@oxenhair.com. And we will see you further on up the road.